Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you've had a good Christmas, you've had some time to relax, that you had a great New Year, and that you are really expectant for 2025 and all that God is going to do this year in your own life personally, but also amongst us as a people. And to kind of just start this morning, I want to read 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 as like a declaration over each of our lives, okay? I pray that you may prosper in all things and that you may be in good health, as I know you are well in spirit. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for all that you are going to be doing this year. Father, I thank you. Your word says here that you want us to prosper in all things, that you want us to be in good health. And so I just declare that over every life, every marriage, every family, every household, that this is a year to prosper. This is a year to be in good health. This is a year to grow spiritually, to be in healthy relationships with others, and to be fruitful in our lives. And we just speak that over our own lives, over who we are as a people and all that you want to do in this coming year. Father, we exalt you, we praise you, and we magnify your wonderful name. Amen. Now, we always start the year, the first Sunday, with a bit of a message for the year. And I'm just going to share some things. This is not a teaching message. This is a bit more of an overall, just some things that we as a leadership believe that God is saying to us, wants us to do this year and kind of step into more as a church. Now, whenever there's a new year, people make resolutions. They want to, what am I going to do this year? And God doesn't just work year by year. He works from one generation to the next, and he works in seasons. And we're already in a healthy season with what God is doing. And it's really just to remind us of what has God been saying, what is he doing, and how do we then individually and together partner with God, with one another, for all that God is already doing and for further increase in how he wants to work and move through all of our lives together, whether it's in the locality where we live, whether it's in our region or in the nation or beyond. And the different places in which God has called Kingdom Faith to be involved in or have influence in some way. So what I want to do right at the start is just do a very, very brief overview of 2024, just to encourage you, okay? Now, 2024 was a year of increase. Isaiah 54 verse 2 talks about enlarging the place of your tent, stretching your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Now, in 2024, the church overall here in the four congregations grew by about 22-23% overall last year. And really, there was a strengthening of the life of who we are, of the discipleship pathway, if you like, which we'll come to a little bit later on, and what that looks like where we are at this moment. But we had a number of smaller alphas through 2024, and each of them people giving their lives to Jesus. First Steps, which is a resource for new believers, was done in small groups in different congregations as people were giving their lives to the Lord. The small groups book that we use, that we've written, has become a resource to many of our partnering churches and other churches that are using it for their new believers. In Freedom, the Freedom course, many of you have done that. We had over 60 people in our own church go through Freedom last year, and we're looking forward to Freedom this year and all those that have become Christians during 2024, and how many of those are going to be going through Freedom, plus new people that have joined the church since then. It's going to be brilliant to see what God does through Freedom. We've had home hubs developing across congregations, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later and what that means for the life of who we are. Crawley went through a bit of a change, a big change actually, with Pastors Rohan and Anna stepping down in the autumn and Pastor Victor becoming the pastor of the Crawley congregation. The youth and children's work has just been growing and exploding. We've had new families coming in during 2024. Certainly in the Horsham congregation, all the children's rooms were maxed out. There had to be a new group created. And even then, the groups are filling up because there's families coming, there's individuals being coming through people being saved, families coming to know the Lord, but also people moving to the area looking for a church. And pretty much most of the people that are looking for a church that have visited have ended up staying. So if you've joined Kingdom Faith Church in the last 12 months, thank you for being part of who we are. We look forward to getting to know you more and all that God is going to do in you and through you as part of the body here. There's been an increase in outreach taking place, particularly in Crawley and Horsham, with people going out into the town centres. People have been giving their lives to Jesus. People have been healed on the streets. It's been great to see what God has been doing as we've taken the gospel out into right into the centre of where our community is to reach people. We've also been developing something called DNA, which is an initial foundational kind of teaching, training, equipping track that we've been putting in place. We've done that with a small group of people so far. We want to expand that in the life of the church. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more later as well, what DNA is and how that's going to help to train, resource, and equip so many of us to be effective as part of the body and reaching out into the community. So it's been exciting what God's been doing in the life of the church. There's been lots of stories of God's provision, God's healing in different ways, physically, as well as mentally and emotionally. And we're excited about what God is doing. We just thank Him for His presence, His tangible presence amongst us, and what He's been doing in the life of the church here. Also during 2024, there have been many ministry trips that have gone out into this nation and to other nations. Jane, my wife, and myself have traveled quite a bit during 2024. Pastor Jonathan Dyke has done a lot of traveling, working with partnering churches and other churches that are not necessarily relating to Kingdom Faith, plus others on the leadership team and people that are part of the church here, going out on ministry trips to really strengthen, encourage other churches, particularly partnering churches and partnering leaders, helping to train and equip in situations, as well as ministering into those churches. And with the partnering churches, it's been brilliant to hear so many God stories that have been developing. Each month we have Zoom calls with partnering leaders. Some of those, a lot of them are together. Some of those are individual. But just what God is doing in churches that are connected with Kingdom Faith in the UK and in other nations, the stories of salvations, of some brilliant healings and miracles that have been taking place, and how many of these churches have been growing like we have in a fresh way as they've been reaching their communities. As part of that, those relationships are getting closer and deeper, and we run leaders' conferences and gatherings, which have been a great resource to the leaders as well. Overseas workers, we have 17 overseas workers in working in more than 17 nations, and we just want to honour them really for being right on the coalface in their respective nations. Some of them not easy, some of those nations that are fairly close to the gospel. And we just want to honour all of those that are really out there every day living on mission, seeking to reach people with the gospel and make disciples. So it's great to be hearing from some of those guys as they come back to give us updates and reports of what God is doing in different parts of the world. And it's great to be able to pray for them, support them financially in different ways as a church to get the gospel out into many, many nations. With Israel-related things, Jane and I, as we've been traveling, we've been teaching more on the biblical understanding of Israel, God's heart for the Jewish people, how all that comes together in Christ as one new man, the church, those that are Jewish people giving their lives to the Lord, just bringing a biblical understanding of Israel, especially in the midst of the conflict that's going on in the Middle East at the moment, just bringing a biblical perspective on that. We've been continuing to build relationships with people in the Jewish community, as well as the Israel embassy. So God has been doing a lot during 2024. And as we come into 2025, we come with great expectation, okay? of further increase and kingdom advancement, both personally in our own lives, but also through who we are as Kingdom Faith. Now, we begin every year with some time of prayer and fasting. And this year, we're going to begin with 14 days of prayer and fasting. And we believe it's right just to have 2 weeks because we're going to build in more regular weeks of prayer and fasting through the year. So it becomes more of a rhythm through the year. And those times are going to relate into seasons that are going to follow as well. So we're going to fast before Easter because of breakthroughs and salvations we want to see during Easter going into the summer. We're going to fast just before the summer holidays because of what we believe God wants to do during the summer as we reach out this year to people in different ways. We're going to fast at the beginning of the autumn for all that God wants to do through that awesome autumn season. So we're going to build in much more times of regular prayer and fasting. And for these 2 weeks, the verse that we're going to use to really be the kind of focus around our prayer and fasting comes from Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. To fast is to set the Lord before us, is to remove distractions and develop a deeper hunger for God, for him. It will look like eating less, maybe detoxing from social media, but also prioritizing time with him to calibrate our lives to live in the life and the power of the Holy Spirit for all that God wants to do this year. So during the prayer and fasting, we want to set the Lord before us. What does that mean? It means we want to seek him. We want to encounter him. We want to meet with him. We want to hear from him. We want to respond to him in all that he's saying and doing. So we want to set him before everything else over these next couple of weeks, to put him first and to calibrate our lives to him in a fresh way. But the verse also says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, what does that mean? For him to be at my right hand means this. It doesn't mean he's at my beck and call. It means that he is at my right hand, that he is the one who sustains me and he is the one who protects me, okay? So he's our sustainer through this year, our life, our energy, everything we need, but he's also our protection. Therefore, I shall not be moved. And what does it mean there, to not be moved? It means to not be moved in my heart. So I'm not going to be moved by other things, other people, by what's going on in the world. But the thing that's going to move me is who God is in me and what God says to me. He's the one that is going to move my heart. And because he's the one that sets my heart, that means I'm not going to be unsettled or disturbed in any way, mentally, emotionally, in any other way, by whatever is going on in the world, okay? Why? Because the world needs a church who knows God, who walk in him, and are unashamed of who he is. A people who proclaim the good news of the gospel to a world that so desperately needs him. This is why we're setting the Lord before us. He's at our right hand and we will not be shaken or we will not be moved. Now in 2024, I had a vision of climbing the mountain of the Lord in prayer. The prayer was strong and it was persistent in this vision. It was earth-moving prayer or intercession. And what God showed me in that vision, it was establishing a highway of holiness in the harvest. This highway spread out into the nations, and from the top of the mountain, a river was being released. This river was the river of salvation. It was the Holy Spirit being released, flowing onto the highway of holiness, bringing salvation, healing, deliverance, and freedom. Really, it was an incredible move of God that unfolded as I watched this scene. There was a threefold call that came from this vision. Firstly, to awaken the house of prayer. Secondly, for the bride, the church, to prepare herself. And thirdly, for us to then live in expectation of his return, that the King is coming. There's a call to the church that is ringing out from heaven to engage in kingdom business. For us not to be caught up with the business of the world and the things of the world, but with the Great Commission. So I believe the Lord is saying to us, in 2024, coming into 2025, partly in response to that vision that He's given and other things that He's been saying to us over this past season of time, that we're to do three things. Come up the mountain of the Lord to encounter Him for fresh consecration, to build the highway of holiness in the harvest, to be the house of prayer and worship that He's called us to be. And then thirdly, to obey the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. There's a glaring need for a consecrated people who do not fit into the world, but are called to stand out in the world. There are no spectators to be sitting on the stands of life just watching everything go by, but instead God has called us to be those who are living to interrupt the status quo with the intervention of the kingdom. So God is calling us to live a consecrated life, and I believe there are six characteristics that God has kind of wants to speak to us about this today that are going to define this year for how we live as Kingdom Faith and as individuals as part of Kingdom Faith to really cultivate a consecrated life. And some of these things are going to bring out of John chapter 15, which God was speaking to me about over the Christmas season for us as a people. So firstly, a dependence on the Holy Spirit. John 15, 4 and 5 says this. Jesus says this, "Remain in me, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So God wants us to be really dependent on the Holy Spirit, to cultivate relationship this year with the Holy Spirit. And the first part of this year, we're going to be doing on Sundays particularly, we're going to be doing a lot of teaching and activation really on how do you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit? How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you live in the power and the life of the Holy Spirit, which will then lead into really living the kingdom life that God has called us to in the power of the Spirit. So cultivated life or a consecrated life is to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, not to live in our own strength and our own efforts. But as it says here, remain in me and I'll remain in you. Now the word remain there means this, to abide, to dwell, to endure, to persevere, to last, and to stand firm. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus in us, and He brings the Word alive in us. He brings Jesus alive in us, and He's the one, the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to stand and be who God has called us to be. So we want to grow and be dependent on the Holy Spirit, filled and led by the Spirit this year. The second thing about a consecrated life is being rooted in the Word. Now, coupled with that is the third thing, is cultivating a stronger prayer life. The two of those things go hand in hand, okay? And it says this in John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me, if you abide and dwell, endure, persevere, if you stand firm in me, and my words remain in you. Now listen to this promise. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So the Word, what does the Word do in us? The Word defines our thinking. It gives us the mind of Christ, okay? It transforms our life by the renewing of our minds, okay? The Word enables us to think right, believe right, and then act and live in the way that God wants us to. So we want to be people that remain in the Word this year so that we think, believe, and live in the way that God wants us to. As a result of that, look at what the Word says, to cultivate a stronger prayer life, ask whatever you wish. Now that means ask whatever in line with God's Word and it will be done for you. Now, prayer is the engine room for any believer. It's your spiritual engine room, okay? But it's also the engine room for a move of God and in a move of God. So prayer is essential in our own lives, but also prayer is the engine room for a move of God. And that vision of prayer on the mountain, highway of holiness being established and the rivers of salvation going, the engine room to see that move of God is prayer. And as that increases and what God does increases, prayer is going to become even more central to how we live and how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, many of us know that nothing happens in the kingdom without prayer, okay? So far, we have dependence on the Holy Spirit, rooted in the Word, and cultivating a stronger prayer life. Now, the fourth thing out of those six was this. It was to love those around us. John 15, verses 8 onwards, it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Well, there's a lot in those few verses that Jesus is speaking about there. But the fourth thing about living a consecrated life is to love people. Now, how do we love people? Jesus describes here that you love people by laying your life down for them, that we prefer others before ourselves. And we're going to speak about home hubs in a few minutes and describe a little bit about home hubs and what that looks like to be a community of people that are really sharing lives with one another in each other's homes and then inviting others into that life that we share amongst us together and how we lay our lives down for those around us and how that then connects into disciple making disciples. So the fifth and the sixth things to cultivate that consecrated life are this. It's to share the gospel, number five, and then number six is to make disciples and really to obey the Great Commission. So John 15 verses 26 and 27 say this, "When the Advocate comes," this is Jesus speaking, "whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Now, we are obviously didn't live 2,000 years ago, but when you were born again, you were filled with the Holy Spirit has been with us from the beginning of our salvation. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to be bold and confident with the gospel. And in those six things about living a consecrated life, we grow in our relationship with God. We want to be a people of the Word. We want to be a people of prayer. And we want to love one another so that the world may know that we are His disciples, so that the world may know about who He is. Many of you have heard this before. The church does not exist for those who have belonged to the church, for its own members in that sense. The church exists for all those that are not yet part of the body of Christ. And so God has called us to live as a community of people, but to live on mission. It's like He's called us to be like a missional community, okay? Now, Part of being a missional community is that we have a discipleship pathway. And many of you will know this in this building in Horsham. It's in the hub area on the wall there in big writing. And our discipleship pathway is this. Firstly, to know God, for people to come to know Jesus. Secondly, it's to live in freedom, to really be free from our past, to be free from sin, to live in who we are in Christ and to live in all that He has called us to be. The third one is to discover your purpose. What are the giftings, grace, and anointings that are on our lives so that we can then make a difference in other people's lives? And so this consecrated life has practical expressions to it. All of us are somewhere on that discipleship pathway. We're all growing. We're all moving forward in terms of where we are and what God is doing in our lives. And we have a number of things on that discipleship pathway that help to build into people's lives, to help people grow as disciples. And all of us in some way will not only be on that discipleship pathway, but we'll all be investing in that pathway into other people's lives to enable them to grow and to move forward. And ultimately, as it's talking about in John 15, to bear fruit and fruit that's going to last and fruit that's going to remain, bearing much fruit. So let's just give some context to the outworking of this discipleship pathway. So to know God means for people to be saved. And there are different ways people can be saved. They can be saved because you're reaching out in some way to your neighbours, to your work colleagues, through Alpha, through going out into the street, in the town, and sharing the gospel with people. There are many different ways people can come to know Christ. And this year, in the autumn, we're going to have a big emphasis on Alpha across the whole church. So there's a number of things I believe we need to put in place over the next 6 months in the life of the church to give a much greater context for the amount of people that I believe God wants to bring into the kingdom through the autumn. Now, it doesn't mean people aren't going to get saved in the first half of the year. Of course they will, and we're going to continue to see an increase. But during the autumn, we're going to have a big push on Alpha. And we're going to build up to that with some prayer and fasting, and over the summer be inviting people to come on Alpha. And across all the congregations, we're going to have Alpha in each congregation running in all our locations. And we're going to have a big Holy Spirit day together where we're bringing everybody together to see people getting born again, filled with the Spirit, and to really launch their whole new life in Christ. And we're going to be celebrating with many, many people who are going to give their life to Jesus. Some of them are going to be your family members. Some of them are going to be your friends. Some of them are going to be your neighbors and your work colleagues that are going to come to know Jesus in 2025. And so we're going to build up to that through the first part of the year and have a big push to see many, many people come to know Jesus in the second part of the year. How many of you are up for that? Amen. It's going to be exciting what God does. Now, the context in which people get saved, the kind of disciples they become, is down to the kind of people that they get added into. Now, we've been talking about living a consecrated life, okay? A people that are dependent on the Holy Spirit, are rooted in the Word, stronger in prayer, developing a prayer life, loving those around us, sharing the gospel, and being disciples that make disciples. Now, a lot of that happens outside of Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings is a great context to come together, to worship, to pray, to respond, to hear from God. But the main place where people are going to be discipled and added into the life of who we are is in our homes. We're believing the Lord for harvest. We're believing the Lord for an increase of how He's moving by His Spirit. But there's got to be a context in which people are discipled. And our homes going forward are going to become even more important than they have up to this point. And so home hubs that are already in place in Burgess Hill, home hubs are already in place in Worthing and being developed there. Home hubs are being developed at the moment in the Horsham congregation. And this year in Crawley, home hubs are going to become a really important life in the Crawley congregation. So what is a home hub? A home hub is a community of people sharing life together in each other's homes and then inviting others into that life. A community of people that are not just loving one another, but they're also reaching beyond their own lives into other people's lives. So a home hub is like a missional community, a community of people in relationship with one another, loving one another, laying their lives down for each other, encouraging, strengthening each other, standing with one another, believing, you know, for breakthroughs and for growing in our own lives and families, but also then reaching out together to see other people getting saved and added into the kingdom to become part of who we are. So home hubs are people where we lay our lives down for each other. It's a place of disciple making disciples because we're reaching out to those that don't yet know Jesus. Home hubs over the next few years are really going to become very much along with the prayer, like the engine room of the life of the church. And going beyond the four congregations that we currently have, establishing home hubs in villages and other towns are going to be the primary way that we reach beyond the existing congregations into other places to really begin to establish what will become congregations in other places during this year and in the coming years. And as part of that, the DNA equipping kind of track is going to be really, really important to help grow people ready to lead and develop home hubs over this year and in the coming years. And DNA is like a foundational training, equipping track that is very much investing in who we are in Christ, becoming a person of faith, becoming a person of prayer and worship. It's really being transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's getting the DNA of who we are as Kingdom Faith into every one of us, so that as we begin to disciple people, as we begin to and grow into leading home hubs over this year and in the coming years, that we have this DNA in us, that all those we then disciple get discipled into this DNA of who we are in Christ, being a person of faith, a person of prayer, a worshiping person who loves Jesus, who then wants to share that life with those around them. So how home hubs develop in each congregation might be slightly different because each congregation is unique. But the home hubs are like the net of relationships, of the community of who we are. And then from that, the life of who we are is expressed into the communities of where those home hubs are meeting. We're going to talk more about home hubs over the next few months in the congregations and how we're going to see those develop and what it really means to be part of one if you're not already in a home hub. Now, the life and the expression of Kingdom Faith is not just in our region, it's beyond the 25-mile radius that we pray for and that we're reaching out into. And we have a whole number of partnering churches in the UK, a number of partnering leaders who lead churches that are in relationship with us, but also in Europe and different parts of the world. And we help to resource those guys with the teachings that we do, resources that we produce. We have leaders' gatherings where they come here, but we also travel to different places and gather leaders in different places. And as well as encouraging them with what God is saying, we help them to encounter God, meet with God. We help to activate different gifts of the Spirit in those settings, but also help to develop leadership and different aspects of the life of those churches. And so we're going to continue to do that, obviously, in 2025. There's already kind of invitations that are coming in to travel to different places to continue just building on what God is doing and helping to help people come into a move of God where they are in their respective place. Now, alongside that, we're in the process of working on some of Pastor Colin's books. Now, for some of you, you might not know who Pastor Colin is. Well, Pastor Colin was my dad. He was the founder of Kingdom Faith. And many, many years ago, he went to be with the Lord just over 3 years ago. But he wrote over 40 books and he wrote a translation of the New Testament. And many of those books we are currently working on, we're digitizing them all, and they're going to be relaunched, not all of them, but a good number of them, because we believe that the teaching in those books is so relevant today, because part of the anointing on Pastor Colin's life was just an incredible teacher of the word. He made profound truths simple. And the In Christ Jesus book and that whole revelation really came from a revelation that he had in his own life and ministry many, many years ago. And that's really become the foundational kind of teaching in Kingdom Faith. And everything else is kind of builds on that, becoming a person of faith, a person of prayer. And living the Christian life really comes from that understanding of who you are in Christ. So we're at the moment developing a load of those resources, and we haven't got a kind of release date yet. We're just working on that at the moment. But there'll be a launch this year of a whole number of those books in different guises, in different ways, that are not only going to bless you, but also bless many, many others in this nation and beyond. Now, we continue to develop relationship with friends and those people that we know in Israel, both Jew and Arab believers. We continue to pray for Israel and the Jewish people, what is happening in that part of the world at the moment. We continue to build relationship with the Jewish community here, particularly for Jane and I as we travel. God has spoken to us about bringing a biblical understanding of Israel to the church, particularly in this nation. We've been doing that whenever we travel, and helping just people to understand a bigger picture of God's story, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, where Israel comes into that, where the Jewish people come into that, what it means to be the church, and how in Christ, when a Jewish person becomes a believer in Christ and a Gentile, like most of us, become a believer in Jesus, and how we come together as one new man in Christ. What does that mean then to be the bride of Christ? What is God doing in the world at this time? And what is his heart for the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel? And where there's going to be an incredible move of God in the coming years. But that will come off the back of what in the Bible talks about a harvest of the Gentiles, which is what is taking place at the moment around the world, the beginnings of a global harvest of people coming into the kingdom over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And off the back of that, we're going to see a phenomenal move of God amongst Jewish people in Israel as many return to the land for various reasons, because of anti-Semitism, because of persecution, because of the days that we're living in, and going to see an incredible move. Now, that doesn't mean Jewish people are not getting saved already, because they are, but we're going to continue just to pray for the nation of Israel, pray for the people, both Jew and Arab, because Jesus died once and he died for all, and so we want to continue to pray for what God is doing in that nation. And so we're going to continue to that. Now, there's the possibility of a tour at towards the end of this year going to Israel. We haven't been able to do tours for the last few years for various reasons, off the back of COVID and then the current conflict that's taking place there. But there is a possibility of a tour at the end of the year. So we'll try and give you a bit more information as soon as we can on that one as to what might be possible towards the end of the year. Many of you might not have ever been to Israel. We'd encourage you, if you haven't, to come with us on that tour, because God will just show you some things about who he is and his word that you've never seen or understood in the same way as to when you go there. Something, it's like the light goes on. The Bible goes from black and white to color. Okay, so we'll let you know what might be the possibility of that for later this year in 2025. Now, just to, in summary then, okay, to finish this morning before we just pray together, we want to strengthen the discipleship pathway. We want to see people saved. We want to see people live in freedom, discover their purpose, and then make a difference. We want to see that for all of our lives currently, but all those that are going to come to know Jesus and get added to who we are this year. We're going to develop home hubs. We're going to develop DNA. We're going to be developing Alpha in the autumn and really reaching out to many, many people who don't yet know Jesus. And it's going to be amazing to see what God does through this year. We're going to continue to press in for an increasing move of God amongst us, a move of God in our nation, and all that God wants to do at this time and in other nations. And we want to live that consecrated life, to live in the way that God wants to do, to be part of bearing fruit that's going to last, not only in our own lives, but in other people's lives this year. As they come to know Him, as they get set free, as there's miracles and healing and deliverance that take place in their lives. And so I'm believing for further increase this year in the amount of people getting saved, in the healings and miracles that we see amongst us, the deliverance and freedom that happens in people's lives as they come to know Him and as we seek to move forward, to see God move in our region, in our 25-mile radius and in our nation, as we join together with churches in our respective towns, as we join with churches across the nation, praying, believing and reaching out together to see a nation impacted with the gospel in 2025 and over the next 3, 5, 10, 20 years. And so let's just pray together. Let's give ourselves to the Lord for this year and all that He wants to do in the prayer and fasting over the next couple of weeks. Father, we thank You for all that You are doing. We thank You for what You have purposed for 2025. Father, we want to set ourselves on You. We want to set You before us. We thank You that You are at our right hand and that we will not be shaken. So, Father, I thank You over these next couple of weeks during encounter nights on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, in prayer meetings, in home hubs on Sundays and in other settings, meeting together in prayer triplets, whatever context we gather in with others, that we would meet with You, we would encounter You, we would hear from You. Father, we just thank You that Your heart is to move more powerfully this year than we've seen in these past few years. And Father, I thank You over these next couple of weeks that You would set the course of this year as we set our faces towards You. Father, we want to be dependent on Your Holy Spirit. We want to be rooted in Your Word. Holy Spirit, would You enable us to cultivate a stronger prayer life? Thank You, enable us to love those around us. Thank You for the boldness to share the gospel and the ability to make disciples. We thank You, Father, that in the midst of a world that doesn't really know which way it's going and what is going to happen next, we thank You've called us to be a people that don't just fit in, but we stand out in the world. And we know that's not comfortable. And that's not easy, because we all want to be comfortable and we all want people to like us and think well of us. But Father, we don't just want to live a comfortable life this year. We want to live a life that You want us to live. To be those that interrupt the world with the intervention of the kingdom. Through loving people with the gospel, not shying away from telling people about who You are. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for all that You're going to do in these coming couple of weeks, but throughout 2025. We thank You for Your grace, Your enabling, for us to respond to You, to say yes to all that You're saying and doing for this year. We thank You in the mighty name of Jesus for all that You're going to do. Everybody said, Amen. We look forward to the next couple of weeks, encounter nights on Tuesday evenings here in Horsham, and then on Wednesday nights, local encounters in each respective congregation. Friday nights, I want to encourage you to meet, gather in each other's homes, have a meal together, break bread together, pray for one another, just have a great time of building fellowship and having community together. And then Sundays, expecting God to move powerfully when we gather together, whether it's in homes or whether it's in buildings, wherever we are, we're expecting God to do some amazing things over these next couple of weeks and then throughout the rest of the year. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.